Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Let's have a nice cup of TRE in the afternoon with Hannah Murray.
Joining us on the line now is Karen Dobray, an advocate for gender equality in football. Growing up during the peak of British football hooliganism, Karen had little interest in the sport, viewing it as a male-dominated, unsafe space. Her perspective changed in 2017 when she discovered women's football and became a passionate supporter of Lewis FC, where she became director until November 2022. Her memoir, Pitch Invasion, My Story as a Feminist on a Football Club Board, tells her story of challenging the football patriarchy. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you, and what an amazing story you have to tell.
Well, I hope so. I hope people are going to be engaged by it and think that it's a bit absurd, really, because I never liked football and became the director on a football club board. So, you know, I hope people that like the ridiculous will enjoy that story.
Yeah, and it's the perfect timing as well, of course, after the Lioness victory at the weekend. I mean, everyone was apart from people in Spain, of course, but everyone was really behind them.
Yeah, I was sorry for Spain because I think they did really well. But obviously, I was actually there in Basel and the atmosphere was absolutely electric. It was like being at some kind of amazing music festival. It was full of joy, so inclusive. And then when the Lionesses won at the very last minute, it was, it was overwhelming.
It must have been really emotional to be there and see it all.
It really was. And looking at the faces in the crowds of the, you know, especially the young girls, you know, that was so inspired and so look up to the Lionesses, and seeing them, you know, not be perfect, actually, but, you know, get off to, not such a great start, and then work their way through the tournament, pulling it out the bag each time, showing that real grit and determination, I think must have been so inspiring for them, because it was very inspiring for me, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to see, and great that these women are inspiring, not just young girls, but young boys as well. I was talking to a friend of mine today who has two young boys who have always followed English football and followed the men's football, and in the last few years have got into watching women's football, and they're absolutely loving it. And that's really great to hear.
I think it's wonderful. I really hope that, you know, with the new generations that are growing up, they don't distinguish so much between men and women's football in terms of what they like. And when they go to matches, you know, that they'll go to live women's football matches as well as men's because it's so brilliant. That's why it's just such a great spectacle. But also, I think sometimes the crowds at women's matches, some men that are turned off the toxic masculinity that's sometimes associated with men's football matches actually prefer to go to women's, you know. So I hope everybody, no matter who they are, what their gender, will get out and support women's football now. It's a wonderful game.
Yeah, brilliant. And tell us a little bit about your journey then, how you went from not liking watching football at all to being the director of a club.
I know, it's really crazy. I always didn't like football because I thought it was just a boys' game when I was young, and that just men played it. And I forgive myself for that because, if you looked at when I was growing up, the back pages of newspapers or what was on the telly in terms of football matches, it really was just about men. And if you were a woman, you were a wag, just an accessory to the main event. So I just assumed there was no place for someone like me in it. And, no one in my family particularly liked it. So there was no sort of route into football for me. And then in 2017, my husband, who was a director on the football club board of Lewis FC, said to me, "What would you say? Because I know you're a bit of a feminist," he said to me, "if we were to pay, I know, the women the same as the men." And I said, "What do you mean there are women playing football there?" And I was really green. I didn't know that women played football. And I said, "And you're not paying them the same as the men. What's wrong with you?" Because I knew nothing about how sexist really the football system is and the structures that exist within football. So basically, my husband and his co-director Ed introduced gender equality to the world, really, by being the first club in the world to resource women the same as men. And I thought, since we were making international headlines, that I'd better go down to Lewis FC and watch these women, just see what it was like. So I went to a women's football match. It wasn't what I thought a football match was at all, or my experience in the past of going to the odd men's match. It wasn't threatening. It was a safe space. It was a relaxed space. I had a cup of tea. I chatted to people, and I didn't know what the rules were or what they were doing on the pitch. But what I could see was that these were young women who were being strong and powerful, and really shouting and acting as a team and learning all these amazing leadership skills in public. And I was just blown away because even as an older woman, I was at the time I was just pre-menopause, and they were young women. But I wanted to bring my daughter, I wanted to bring my friends, I wanted them to be inspired by this amazing spectacle of women being so passionate and strong, and yet not many people were there. So the way I got involved was by volunteering to bring other women, who I called them unwelcome women like me, to the match. Because what I discovered was that women's football had been banned, you see, and that's why, it had been banned for 50 years in the UK and banned in all the major footballing countries around the world. As far as anyone knew, the women's game was a sort of a spare rib to the men's. It wasn't very well attended. And no media attention. So yeah, I thought, well, let's change that. Let's stand by Lewis FC and this amazing world first decision to pay them the same. Let's get the crowds in.
Oh, wonderful. What an amazing thing that you guys did then, being the first club in the world to pay its women and men players equally. I mean, did people follow on from that? Are you still the only one, or have others followed suit?
As far as we're aware, Lewis FC is still the only pro or semi-pro club in the world to equally value and resource men and women, which tells you a lot about the male bastion of football, because it's brilliant that Lewis do it, but it's a bit shameful that other clubs don't do it. And of course, I understand that other clubs, say it was Manchester United or Chelsea or Arsenal, any of the really big clubs, they can't immediately pay their women the same as men because they pay such astronomical figures on the men's side. But there are certain things other football clubs can do and take a leaf out of Lewis's book that are completely free, like position their women first or second on the website and not after the under-18s boys, or use social media handles that are, say they said at Manchester United men and at Manchester United women, because that would make it not default male. And these are signals that any club can send out to women to let them know that they're welcome in football and to support their women's team.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us about all the changes that you made to Lewis FC when you're in charge, because it's described as no ordinary football club.
I know. Well, I had a lot of fun, to be honest. I mean, I thought that it was really important that if we were trying to change culture and welcome our whole community to football and not just half of it, that once they got to a football match, they felt like they belonged there and that there were signs and signals around that indicated that women or people that were new to football would be at home. So the kind of things I did was I facilitated, for example, one of our male players to start a community garden in the ground, which is thriving actually and doing really well. And then I facilitated the installation of a 8 foot tall statue of bisexual female pirates from the 18th century.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. It just came up on Twitter that someone had rejected it. So I told the sculptor it'd be very welcome at Lewis FC because, you know, these were women pirates. So they were women in a male bastion who had to dress as boys. And actually a lot of our female players have had to overcome obstacles or play in boys' teams when they were young because there wasn't the availability of girls' teams or women's teams. And I think there is a connection to be drawn between, women in different male bastions. So those pirates overlook the pitch and bring good luck, you know, to the women. And to the men,
they're not discriminative, no.
Exactly, they're not discriminative. And then also I started a call him out campaign on the men's side where the men would pledge publicly to call out misogyny or sexism within themselves or others, because I think there's two sides to gender equality. One is empowering the women, the other is getting the men, if they want to step up as male allies. And I'm jolly pleased to say that our men loved the idea and really wanted to support the women. And then also, you know, teaching chanting at women's football matches, because for many women it's not the if you're new to football, to stand at the corner of a pitch and shout and sing at the players in a really loud voice, really passionately, it's quite a jump. So I got a friend who has a very loud voice to stand in front of the terraces and you know, get people to chant these chants three times, really from their stomach, and take up a bit of space and use their voice and not feel embarrassed. And we had so much fun with the chanting. And then other things, I suppose I introduced an evening in our clubhouse called The Offside Rule and All That Jazz, where people that were new to the match, to the game, usually women, but some men, could come along and no question too silly, no judgment. You can ask anything about football and it can be explained to you by our amazing female players, because I thought it was a good idea to get female players or female coaches to do it in case there was the slight risk of mansplaining, you see.
Yes.
because so many of my wonderful fellow male board members volunteered to do that job.
I'm sure they did.
Explain the offside rule, you know, but our players were brilliant at doing it, and it was a great success. And people said, you know, really going to look at the next match on Sunday with new eyes, because I'm going to understand why they're throwing the ball in from the corner or what the set pieces are and what their tactics are. It's just such a brilliant insight. So yeah, I think things like that and other art I brought into the Dripping Pan. The Dripping Pan is the name of our home ground, just to associate football with culture, I suppose, and things that people that didn't necessarily go to football might like to do.
Oh, it's great. It's done some brilliant things. Another one that I saw was introducing Prosecco on tap at the stadium, yeah, which is always a great idea.
You know, that was a great idea, and it went down really well with the men, with the male fans. They love the Prosecco on tap.
There you go. And am I right in saying that the club is fan-owned? What does that mean?
It means that, so actually this is a really important point, because The club, which was on the brink of financial ruin back in 2009, was mutualized by six fans, one of whom had been my husband, so that anybody anywhere, even in anywhere in the world, can buy a share in Lewis FC and thereby get a vote as to who goes onto the board. And also, if you have a share, you can put yourself forward to be on the board as an elected director. It's community owned, and we now have over 2,500 owners paying £50 a year to own a football club. And they're now in 42 countries around the world. So there are lots of people who, you know, lots of people who own the football club here in Lewis or in London nearby or Brighton, but also lots of people who probably may never come to the Dripping Pan to watch a match, but want to show their support for gender equality in football. And because we know about its wider effects on the world, you know, like what you do in football has such a massive effect on society in general. So people just want to, you know, want a piece of that.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. There could be a docu-series like Welcome to Wrexham about Lewis. You should get that sorted. It'll be great.
It's been mooted.
And I also read that the different people involved in the football club, obviously a lot of local support, but also some pop stars. Who's that?
Well, for example, one of the things I introduced was, so we're called the Rooks, and that's after the grey-beaked corvids that nest around the Dripping Pan, and also the statement Norman Castle on the hill in Lewis. So our nickname is the Rooks. So some time ago, I introduced a writing competition for all Lewis FC owners called the Rooker Prize.
And, love it.
Yeah, do you like it? But you only have to write the first 250 words of your novel, because obviously who's got the time, right? So it's just an alternative to the Booker. Anyway, it's sponsored by the amazing Rock on Tours, who are Gary Kemp and Guy Pratt.
Wow.
Gary Kemp was in Spandau Ballet, and Guy Pratt is the bassist for Pink Floyd. And they get involved. They're both owners of Lewis FC, very kindly sponsor the prize and come to matches. So, it's amazing. Also, one of the art pieces that I brought into the pan at the beginning of last season was an amazing feminist pop art eye. It's a massive eye, which kind of... It is a female eye with eyelashes and eyeshadow, and it's supposed to represent seeing things through the female perspective rather than the male gaze. And the artist is called Charlotte Colbert. Her best friend is the pop star Kate Nash, and Kate Nash actually wrote us a song called
Iconic.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing, if you look it up on YouTube, it's Iconic with EYE, Conic. And it references the Dripping Pan, Lewis FC, the Rooks. And honestly, it's such an honour, and it's such a catchy song. So Kate Nash also is very supportive of Lewis FC.
That's amazing. What a great story. So you stopped being director in 2022. So what have you been up to since?
Well, I've still volunteer with the club and still help with certain things. So I've been busy helping the club still. But honestly, when I was a director, it was 24/7. And, you know, I really needed to step back and get on with my life again. So I decided to decompress and write down my experiences. And that's what this book is. It's me kind of processing what happened for someone that really had never liked football and started to work on a football club board and really in a hands-on position. I was leading on Impact on the World and doing, you know, press, media and various other activations. And it was full on. And it was useful to kind of write my story, tell my story in my own voice. And because it's not just funny. There are also challenges in the book whereby it was quite hard for me coming from a different culture and having to adapt and having to find ways in to this culture in order to change things really for women and girls and for our fantastic players. So, and I learned a lot. I had a profound life lesson. I had to unpack some of my own conditioning as a woman and be a bit more confident, you know. And so I wrote about it all, yeah.
Oh, it's great. It must have been quite the journey, because before you can go into a company, into a position, into a business and start making changes, you've got to earn respect from everybody else that's already there, that have put the years in. You've got to understand what you're doing. You know, there's lots you need to learn before you can start making changes. So you obviously went through quite the journey.
Yeah, I mean, for the first, when I got involved in 2017, for the first couple of years, I was volunteer. Well, I had so many titles. I was volunteer press officer. I was, I used to clean the toilets sometimes if they weren't clean. I mean, it was like I used to get bed linen for the players when we started to, as the women's team started to do better and better, we attracted players, you know, from abroad. So we had a New Zealand international, a Maltese international. And, I helped. Being a woman and having all these young women come into town, you know, to look after them, was useful, really. And I would help them with media and things as well. So I guess I earned respect for about 2.5 years and then was elected onto the board, by which time I'd understood much more the fan culture, what we needed as a football club, and how to strategize really for the future, of the club.
Yeah, brilliant. And obviously we've seen massive growth in women's football in the last 5 to 10 years. What do you see for the future of women's football?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking just after the Lionesses Euros victory, so I'm feeling very happy and positive at the moment. But you know, with a bit more of a level head on, I really think that we need to take the Lionesses victory and all ourselves resolve to go to our local women's clubs or women's teams and watch them. Because sometimes, you know, these amazing international tournaments are played out on a world stage and they're absolutely brilliant and we get media attention and we see the impact that this has on all of us, not just girls and boys, but women and men, of seeing these amazing women. But if we want to have a whole ecosystem that works for the, not just for the Lionesses, but for clubs everywhere, we really need to get ourselves some matches. And if we're in a position to sponsor these teams, because there is a lack of resource in women's football and they were held back developmentally by the monopoly that men had over football for years. So we really need to do our bit as spectators or fans to help women. And I think if we all went to a women's football match as soon as we can, as the new season opens, that we'd be doing a very good thing.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, it's been wonderful to have you with us on the show, Karen Dobre. Thank you so much for joining us. And if listeners want to get a copy of Pitch Invasion, My Story as a Feminist on a Football Club Board, it's available on our website, tre.radio. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.